This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry with special coverage all this hour of the developing story in Boston. We are here at the studios of WGBH Boston Public Radio following the manhunt for the remaining suspect in the Marathon bombings. Thanks so much for listening to all of you all across the country. 19-year-old Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, armed and extremely dangerous, brother of Tamerlane Tsarnaev, killed overnight in a shootout with authorities in the suburban community of Watertown. More about that a little later, including the death of a police officer on the MIT campus that also happened overnight. These two Chechen brothers who have lived in the Boston area for perhaps as long as a decade, what motivated them to carry out the Marathon bombings? The desperate mission of law enforcement, we're following that, to capture this suspect still at large, alive. All the latest. We will be breaking away live here to briefings and statements that we expect might happen over the next hour as this story develops. But we begin noting just how the events of this week have made this diverse but sometimes accused of being provincial New England community of Boston, Massachusetts, a world stage where images of martial law, curfews, lockdowns, possible sectarian violence, terrorist bombings, checkpoints, and a profound military presence are all part of this week. No one has felt that more profoundly than Charlie Sennett, executive editor of Global Post, longtime foreign correspondent, and longtime reporter here in the Boston area. Charlie, your feelings and thoughts, and welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. This is the most extraordinary week in my time in Boston. Certainly since 9/11. Remember the flights left from Boston. And then that was certainly a wild sequence of events as well. But I think, how do you deal with this? I guess I've covered so many bombings all over the world, I'm sad to say. I've covered them, in Jerusalem. I've covered them in London, in Madrid, in Baghdad, in Kabul. It's just so fundamentally different on a very personal and human level when it's your hometown, This is where I grew up. This is where I'm from. And there's something very profound about going through all of this ritual, almost like choreography of covering the story as I've covered it in so many cities and now covering it here in Boston. It probably shouldn't be different. It's still just people being killed, an incredible act of violence, senseless violence. But I have to say it's different.
And the sense of a whole society, a whole community really under siege as the response transpires all day today. These are familiar images to you as a foreign correspondent, having covered dozens of bombings around the world, and yet because it is your community, it's completely different from all of those stories you've covered.
That's right. I mean, what this reminds me of is, when the Madrid bombings happened, for example, we went deep inside the sort of working class neighborhood of Madrid where the North African immigrants lived, and we had to get inside the head of those Moroccan immigrants who turned out to be the ones carrying the backpacks on the trains. Or in London, when the London bombings happened, 7/7/2005, if I'm remembering correctly, we had to go out to Leeds and we had to get inside a second generation Pakistani community to understand their alienation and figure that out. And the truth is that in so many places where these bombings happened, the same questions are asked. The investigators follow a parallel course. They need to figure out what motivates these young men to suddenly resort to violence. And we all are in pursuit of trying to understand how this happened. And, the truth is, you get there, you can figure out the pieces and the shards, but it comes down to this strange set of events in someone's life that they suddenly become violent. And I still don't think we understand this, or maybe we never will, but the tiny pieces of the puzzle of who these brothers were, the disaffection of their lives, the disruption of their childhood, when they were just really kids and they moved, from Chechnya to Kazakhstan to the United States, their lives completely disrupted. They moved to Cambridge. They go to high school. One of them does better than the other, apparently. The younger brother was very well adjusted. The older brother, Tamerlane, it turns out he was very alienated and very angry at America and about America, posted at one point on Facebook that he doesn't understand America. So I think the dynamic between these brothers is very important.
Well, and the mission, regardless of how difficult it is to get inside the heads of these brothers, is exactly our mission today. Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, named after possibly the leader of Chechnya, Dzhokhar Dudayev, So he carries with him as a namesake the politics of the place where he was born. And of course, Tamerlane Tsarnaev, who is no longer with us, named for one of the most vicious conquerors in Central Asia in the 14th century. Anne Speckar joins us now, author of Talking to Terrorists, professor of psychiatry, has studied Chechens intensively around the world. Anne, do you have any insights here as we begin this task of trying to figure out what might have motivated these young men?
Well, hi, John. I think that the thing to keep in mind here, if we're dealing with Chechen young men that immigrated here, that they probably did come with terrible traumas on their souls. It sounds to me like they came as maybe 9 to 15-year-olds, and so they would have memory of where they lived before. And I've heard some reports that they were living in Kyrgyzstan, some that they were living in Dagestan, but all the same, they would have heard and probably lived some of the stories of the wars of independence in Chechnya. And the Russians were very heavy-handed there. Many people were tortured. People disappeared. Some of the boys that were involved in the, men that were involved in the Beslan attacks as boys had witnessed the rapes of their family members. So we've seen before Chechens become involved in terrorism motivated because of traumas and because they wanted revenge. In this case, with these kids striking out at Americans, I would say that their traumas, if this is the scenario, if this is true, that would have made them vulnerable to falling prey to a militant jihadi ideology, to make them identify with the traumas in other places, to buy this line, the narrative of Muslims are under attack, and therefore we should rise up and strike back, which is what al-Qaeda is trying to sell to American Muslims right now.
Speculation there, but speculation definitely grounded in history, contemporary history. That's Anne Speckar, author of Talking to Terrorists, a professor of psychiatry who has studied Chechens intensively. Anne, thanks so much.
You're welcome, John.
Charlie Sennett, some final thoughts.
Just you know, that Boston's a very resilient town. It's already shown that it can live through this. But now it's going to have to process two of its own, two people who are immigrants but who lived here and were part of the community, and we're going to have this search for trying to understand what motivated them. And we have a long way to go and many questions.
A long way to go, but many windows. We'll be exploring, trying to peer through some of those windows to understand the motives of Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, to understand the motives of Tamerlane Tsarnaev, and to fully understand the impact of all of this on the community of Boston and the surrounding areas. Charlie Sennett, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.